This is Ottawa at Work with Leslie Roberts on News Talk 580 CFRA. Share your opinion now. Text us at 580-580. Please include your name and where you're texting from. Standard text rates may apply.
So in all the controversy over human rights at the beginning of the Beijing Olympics, it basically resulted in a diplomatic boycott, right? We're going to leave our athletes to go and compete, but we're going to leave our diplomats behind. That's the takeaway. Now, what about the sponsors? Is there any responsibility, maybe social responsibility, to make a statement as well? Well, we're apparently looking at some $2 billion potentially that sponsors, and we're talking about big ones, household names, have paid to the International Olympic Committee to be part of the Beijing Winter Olympics. So here's the question. Will you, in particular, would you not buy a product because they're supporting the Beijing Olympics? Because the IOC is betting no. Let's talk about this part of the story. When it comes to the business of sport, there's no one better than Moshe Lander, senior lecturer in economics at Concordia University. Always good to talk to you. Thanks for your time.
My pleasure.
Hey, I mean, we can't expect Coca-Cola, Procter & Gamble, Visa, Toyota, Airbnb, and so on to drop out, or can we expect them to? What do you think?
No, I don't think their customers want it, right? Let's not forget that at the end of the day, capitalism rules, and these are profit-maximizing entities where their consumers don't seem to be boycotting their products. So what is to be gained from their standpoint of taking a stance that could cost them sales in China?
So the money that they're spending, and it's like all combined like $2 billion apparently, is to advertise in China? Most of it?
Well, it's not. Okay. Well, I mean, that's the way that it's going to end out. They're going to advertise mostly in China. We're not going to see them as prominent because I don't think they want to trigger any sort of response from their Western clientele that says, wait a second, why are they? So I think they're going to lay low a little bit on the North American European advertising. But the fact is that North American and European consumers haven't pushed back saying you need to drop that sponsorship. And if you remember, we had this discussion last year relating to, for example, Toyota and the pressure they were feeling in Japan about promoting the Tokyo Games. And at the height of the Delta wave, there was a concern that should these go ahead and what are they doing? They advertised outside of Japan more than in Japan. I think we're going to see the reverse story here for the North American company.
So if Coca-Cola said we're not going to sponsor the Olympics this time around, do you suspect that maybe it would spread quickly in China and therefore there would be potential boycott of Coca-Cola products and boom, the bottom line's affected?
Absolutely. You saw what happened when Daryl Morey tweets out some comment about Stand Up for Hong Kong. And the next thing you know, the NBA is losing billions of dollars because the Chinese government is basically turning off the TV and not letting its citizens watch it. So they saw firsthand that when you take a stance, even if it's principled and moral and the correct thing to do, it has consequences. And so I don't think that any of these companies are going to do it if they don't know that they have the implicit backing of their customer base in North America. And it's enough to withstand the consequences that would happen with losing customers in China.
Well, human rights are important to, if you ask people, to them, and therefore, if you ask them, would you not buy your favorite soft drink if you see that they're advertising in a country where there's human rights abuses, the takeaway is probably not, right?
That's exactly it. It's easy to vote with your mouth. It's hard to vote with your wallet, right? And we see that not just when it comes to human rights. It's, say, the environment, right? Do you think that the environment is important? Yes. Are you prepared to pay $5 a liter for gasoline? No. Well, there's a disconnect between what you say and what you do. And so that's what I mean. When these companies like Coke and Procter & Gamble are saying, look, we see this purely as a financial play, and if this is going to have a consequence on our bottom line, we're not taking any stance that's going to upset our shareholders.
So the IOC may be saying, yes, of course we take this into consideration. They don't need to because they've got the power here.
Absolutely. And they understand full well that the power of their brand is the thing that you're signing up to associate with, right? Who doesn't like the idea that for couple $1 billion, you get a 2-week association where you get to put those rings over everything that you do. And the fact is that much as we might object to human rights abuses in China, we're probably going to watch. And if we're still going to watch because we want to support the athletes or we want to see Olympic hockey, the fact is then that they realize that if we're watching, then there's going to be advertisers that want to pay to get to us.
I had Jean-Luc Brassard on. In 1994, won the gold freestyle skiing for Canada. And he's been standing up using his voice for change. And the latest is He says it's time to reboot the IOC, that they need to be called out. They should not have given the games to China. He stopped short of saying, no, we're not going to send our, we're not going to stop sending our athletes because boycotts don't make change. But he said, we need to go back to the source, point the finger and say, IOC, this is not how it's going to be done. Now, is there going to be enough interest, A, and B, power in countries? How many would it take for them to go back and say, IOC, you shouldn't be giving China the games?
I think that that's a nice stand to take, and you know, I probably broadly support the idea, but my next question then would be, so who is going to host the games? If you want the Olympics to go on as an entity into the future, the fact is that democratic countries that respect the environment or human rights aren't interested in hosting those games because they lose a tremendous amount of money, and that money ends up being footed by the taxpayer. I don't have to tell you, with your ties to Montreal, what those games did to this city, you know, 40 years after the fact. And so, you know, it's one of those things that as the games become more and more expensive and more of a show, countries don't want to host it. And so the IOC either has to accept money from China and countries that maybe have questionable records. Sochi, of course, is one example in the recent winter history pass, or reconsider the way that the games are going to function going forward. And that's what I've been pushing for, is that a complete rethink of the Olympics itself, not just the IOC, needs to be done.
How so?
To me, the idea of the Olympics is it's antiquated. This was a reinvention in 1896, and we're still basically using that model 125 years later. The whole idea of bringing athletes together every 4 years was because travel was difficult. Seasons were not on professional circuits where you could watch them on TV at all times. So this once in a four-year event was your chance to see athletes and for the athletes to measure against each other. This is now just one stop on a multi-city tour that goes on for months and months.
World championships, you know, and so on, you mean, like that?
Yeah. So why do we have to have the Olympics every 4 years? Or why do we have to have it all in one location? Or why do we have to have it during this 2 weeks in February, where this might not be the ideal time for hockey, for example, but it might be the ideal time for the bobsleigh tour? So the idea is, why not totally disconnect the Olympics into just a world championship? You can have it come up every 4 years. You could have it come up every year. You could have it come up at various points in the winter. And you can have it at a whole variety of cities. Maybe what the IOC does is merely give the idea that the award for this event in this particular year gets a gold medal rather than a green jacket or rather than a trophy or whatever it is you might award.
I guess the difference is, Brassard was saying the same thing. He said, we need to invest more time. He said, you know, my Olympic medal was only one of 50 podium finishes, and we need to celebrate every podium finish if we want to do this right and invest in the athletes like we say we do. Apparently, like, there's $1 billion in security. He says, imagine if we spent some of that money on building rinks and facilities for our athletes across, in all the small towns across the country. Wouldn't that be money better well spent? And but he did say, and I will say, the difference between an Olympics and World Championship is you're getting all these great all at once. You're not, you know, it's not just one sport on this month, and then next month it's going to be another sport. You get everything at once, and that's hard to turn down.
It is, but, you know, TV stations these days are starving for content, right? It's why you see outrageous sums paid on big-time sporting events. And so the idea that we can stagger the Olympics into a six-month event. This week is going to be the bobsleigh Olympics. Next week is the luge Olympics. The week after that are the hockey Olympics. The week after that are the figure skating Olympics. The fact is that if it's endorsed by the IOC that your winner gets the prestigious gold medal, you can turn this into a major TV event where you're feeding content this week into next week. The IOC can still see the potential for money here. And the fact is that cities might be much more willing to bid on a particular event. Think about South Koreans wanting to bid on hosting, say, speed skating, where Canadians would want to bid on hosting hockey. But if you package them together, neither country might be willing to bid because one of those sports isn't necessarily as important to that country, and they might not see it as a potential financial power play for the governments that have to finance this. So if you're going to get democracies involved, I think you need to kind of spread out the Olympics a little bit wider and longer.
I love our conversations. Thank you, Moshe. Appreciate it.
Anytime.
Moshe Lander, senior lecturer in economics at Concordia University. Coming up, City Councilor Sean Menard. He says, given what we're living here in the city of Ottawa, we don't need the army, just competence. What does he mean? He'll join me live next.